Every year on this second Sunday of Lent, our attention is drawn to the Transfiguration of the Lord. The Transfiguration is generally recognized as one of the most significant moments in Christ's life. The Transfiguration is clearly meant to demonstrate Jesus' role as connecting the point between heaven and earth. In his Transfiguration, Jesus is revealed as the Son of God, who is completely at one with his Father. Whether by way of the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, or Luke, we hear about the Transfiguration every year. And that should make it clear to us that we are dealing with something important. And yet, I have heard many older Catholics express an attitude of apathy because they have heard about the Transfiguration so many times in the past. Essentially, they feel that there is nothing new to be learned. Well, here's the thing. When it comes to Scripture, we can read a particular Scripture passage 1,000 times, and yet a particular word or phrase might just pop out at us today in a new and meaningful way that we never noticed before. And so Luke tells us Jesus went up the mountain to pray, and that it was while Jesus was praying that he was transfigured. And while his face changed and his clothing became radiant white, we cannot deny this amazing spectacle. It wasn't that Jesus reflected light. It wasn't light shining on Jesus like a spotlight, but it was light coming from or emanating from Jesus. And then the Father spoke to Peter, James, and John and said, "This is my chosen Son. Listen to him." Everything in the Old Testament represented by Moses and Elijah was pointing to Jesus. The covenant God made with Abraham in our first reading also looks forward to Jesus. In the Transfiguration event, Peter, James, and John got a glimpse of the glory of Jesus' resurrection in advance, and also a glimpse of the goal of our existence, to be with the Father and Jesus in the light of heaven, overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And so this all summarizes what we just heard in today's gospel. But did you happen to notice all the details? If you listen closely to Luke's version, which we just heard, it mentions the apostles were weighed down with sleep, which suggests the Transfiguration was a nighttime event. We also know that it was not until the next day that they descended the mountain, this being another example of the detailed information we sometimes miss. Today we sang, "How good, Lord, to be here," for our entrance hymn. An excellent choice for this second Sunday of Lent. Did you listen to the words, or were you distracted? In the first verse, we heard, "How good, Lord, to be here. Your glory fills the night. Your face and garments like the sun shine in unborrowed light." The word that jumped out at me was night. The lyrics suggest, again, that the Transfiguration event occurred at night. Can you imagine that? On the top of a mountain, it would be very dark, and yet intense light emanated from our Lord. That adds a whole new level of awe and wonder to this event. And so I wanted to learn a little bit more about the origin of that hymn, suggesting that the Transfiguration took place at night. J. Armitage Robinson, who wrote the lyrics for the hymn, was indeed a priest and dean of Westminster, and he was known for his writings regarding scripture. I did a quick search and discovered that he has written dozens of books, including many that studies the Gospels. So I think it is safe to say that he was pretty qualified, adding words to the music, speaking of the transfiguration glory filling the night. We know that Jesus revealed his divinity to Peter, James, and John to strengthen them prior to his crucifixion and death. But what about us? Where's the vision to sustain us? The response is that we too do in fact have our moments of transfiguration, but simply fail to recognize them. It is, if you will, a matter of seeing. So let me give you an example. One morning, people were quietly sitting in a New York City subway car. Some were reading newspapers, others were dozing, others were simply contemplating with their eyes closed. It was a rather peaceful, calm scene. At one stop, however, a man and his two children entered the car. The children were soon yelling back and forth, throwing things, even grabbing people's newspapers. It was all very disturbing, and yet the father just sat there and did nothing. It was not difficult to feel irritated. It was easy to see that everyone else in the car was annoyed. And so finally, with what he thought was admirable restraint and patience, a man said, "Sir, your children are disturbing a lot of people. I wonder if you couldn't control them a little bit more." And so the man lifted his gaze as if coming into consciousness for the first time. And he said, "Oh, you're right. I guess I should do something about it. We just came from the hospital where their mother died about an hour ago. I don't know what to think, and I guess they don't know how to handle it either." Can you imagine that moment? Suddenly, things were so different, and yet nothing changed in that subway car. All the same people, the same irritation, the same kids. What did change was a way of seeing it all, with the seeing a change of attitude. This was a moment of transfiguration, a moment of revelation. The point is, we have to see differently to recognize such revelations of God in our daily lives. And that is why the transfiguration was so important an event for Peter, James, and John to witness. They were familiar with the human nature of Jesus, his body, his mind, his human soul, but they were now exposed in a very powerful and direct way to the divine nature of Jesus. The transfiguration showed that Jesus is fully human and fully God. Jesus is eternal, existing forever. He is omnipresent, present everywhere at the same time. Omniscient, he knows everything. Omnipotent, he has unlimited power and authority. And immutable, which means unchanging over time. But for us, it's not a matter of going up the mountain to be able to see the transfiguration. What we are going to see is something far greater. We are going to see a piece of bread and a cup of wine being changed into the very humanity and divinity of Jesus Christ. hidden under the forms of bread and wine, but no less real than what happened during the Transfiguration. And the voice of the Father is going to speak to our hearts. To each one of us, he will say, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him."